Thank God. Thank God for everyone here. Amen. Just give the Lord a praise right now. Let's give the Lord another praise right now for his goodness, grace, kindness, and mercy. Amen. Thank God for another day. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for being here. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together one more time. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of grace. We thank you, Lord, it's by grace that it causes us to stand. And we thank you, Lord, for the enlightenment of your word. We ask that you continue to breathe and bless this church according to your will, plan, and purpose. And we thank you, Lord. Bring enlightenment to your word, Father. Bless your people. And many of your people going through different tests, trials, and tribulations. But thank God, we can rest in you to know that everything is already done. Was done in eternity. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness, goodness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Trust that everyone is ready for the word. Amen. Whenever we get together, we come together, and the Lord causes us to come together, we should all be coming in an enlightenment to hear the word of God. And I'm not going to be long today because today is a long day with Sunday school this morning, then of course service today. We're having a board meeting after this, and a good friend of mine, Dr. Annie Adams, who is retired Detroit Public School teacher, is having her installation as a pastor today at 3 o'clock, right after the board meeting. So after the board meeting, I have to zoom over with on Puritan 6 mile, and I guarantee you, when I get home at 6 o'clock, we have an appointment with the bed, nap time. Let's go directly in our scripture. Amen. Because we're here for the word of God, right? Yes. Everything we do, church, should center around the essence of God's word. Right. And as a foundation to lead into the document that I've referred to in the past couple of times up. In fact, I will share the title of this document now. In fact, I have some copies next time when we get together that Lord bless our pastors to write. And the title is The Observations of Manifestations in Time, which is in the matrix. Right? And the things that manifest in time from the viewpoint of actualization in eternity. Right. Everything in the, quote, in manifestation in time, it was there because it was actualized in eternity. But the sad thing is that people they govern their entire life based on what pops up in the matrix. And how many of you know some crazy things can pop up in the matrix? This political season, crazy things. And many of God's people, the closer we get to November 8th, I believe, the more nervous God's people are. No, we have peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Deacon Gavin, why don't you read? Let's go to our scripture. We have three scriptures that we're going to refer to first, maybe four. 2 Timothy 2:15, very familiar passage of scripture. Before we're going to build some foundation before we move into the document, because a lot of times God's people, you need some foundation first rather than come reading without any foundation. And everything, the foundation of everything is the word of God, our gospel. So now, Paul writes, this is some instructions that Paul gives Timothy, which is the foundation of the Bible, church. Deacon, you may begin. Why don't you can refer that in the King James and the Greek.
We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Mm-hmm. First from the King James Version. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now from the interlinear Greek text. Be eager thyself, approved to present, hallelujah.
Present.
Having presented,
yes,
to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Church, if you do not cut this word straight, divide these, put these demarcations around the God's eternal workings. And we know God's workings. The whole Bible contains 66 books, church. But these books must be divided according to covenants.
Yes, sir.
And if you begin mixing these covenants, your cogitation, your thinking processes, you will have no way you can understand the Bible. But if it's written, if it's read according to covenants, and we do that, we understand that in the secular arena. I mean, we just don't go, when you were in school, you didn't just go in a class, and you, let's say you took math, science, history, you took 5 subjects. You didn't just go to one class and try to mix all those things together. Those classes were divided at certain times. At certain times, you attended your math class, science class. It was broken into certain components. But now we're going to come and take the God's word, just mix everything up and try to derive at some type of conclusion. It's impossible. Go to Ephesians, Deacon Gavin. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now, what must be divided? We know the word, but as we move into the word, what about dispensations? Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. Just go to King James for now, because as we move into the document, we're going to do some exegesis on Ephesians 5, 14, and 16. But for time's sake, you can go directly into the King James for this part.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, King James Version. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Now, in the grace gospel curriculum, we, as a foundation in this ministry, we focus on the 7 dispensations, but we're living in the day of grace.
Grace.
Say grace, church.
Grace.
Grace. Now, for even some, my voice may, this message, this word that God has enabled Deacon Henderson and Deacon Mitchell, the website and the audio ministry, covers the globe, literally. Pakistan, Africa, Philippines, many places we don't even know. However, those 7 dispensations, church, innocence 1, conscience 2, human government 3, promise 4, law 5, grace 6, 7 kingdom. These are the 7 dispensations, and you must divide the Bible according to these dispensations, and embedded in these dispensations, church, are covenants. And you, when you go to those, you move into those covenants, there are certain directives that God gives in those covenants.
Yes.
And you're only going to get the information that's conveyed in that covenant. So when you move into law, you're not going to get information on everything is according to God's eternal purpose. It's not there. Because it was hidden during that time. Mm-hmm. Now, moving to these covenants, the one that caused most confusion today in the church today, we call the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel. There are 7 dispensations, church, but the 2 that cause most confusion, again, kingdom and grace. Now, having said that, move on to Galatians. Since some of y'all know where we're going. Galatians chapter 2. It's so important, church, to get this, because the same confusion that said to say this in many places today, same problem the Apostle Paul had 2,000 years ago. Galatians 2, 1 through 7.
Now reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, King James, from the King James Version.
Yes.
Verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw..."
Stop here, Dick, 1 second. Now, let's pay special attention, because we're not in a hurry today. We're going real slow. Notice what Deacon Gavin is going to read now, church. And it's so important because it's right there in terms of the proper division of these dispensations. Deacon Gavin, you make read, please.
Again, verse 7 of the second chapter of Galatians. "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter."
Church, the gospel of the circumcision. Who are the constituents in the circumcision? We know. The Commonwealth of Israel, the Jews. Who are the constituents today?
Predominantly Gentiles
and a remnant of Jews, because we know in the body of Christ there's no Jew nor Gentile, there's no black nor white, there's no ethnicity. It's only one spiritual organism, that is the body of Christ, which God had formed. God created the body of Christ in eternity.
Yes.
It was just manifested in time.
But
you have always been a member in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Now somebody said, "No, I got in the body of Christ when I went and shook the preacher's hand. I got baptized." See, you have salvation in time. Take salvation out of time and put it where it belongs, in eternity, for God. See, the reason there's so much fussing and fighting over doctrine today, because God's people have salvation. Most of them, thank God, not all. Most of God's people have salvation in time.
Mm-hmm.
How were you baptized? What day? Did they use the term? When was your spiritual birthday? Church, I'm guilty. But someone told me 20 years ago, when was my spiritual birthday? I tell them, Morningstar Baptist Church, two mothers. One is right, one is left. Now, Levin, you want to be saved today, right? Yes, I don't want to go to hell. You know, come on, y'all. So one says, "Set faster." Say, "Jesus, set faster." And then I was saying it real fast, and the other mother pulled my hands and, "No, you said slower." And I said, "Wait, what's this?" And the problem there, you have salvation in time. Apart from this knowledge, if anyone told me when was my spiritual birthday, I would have mentioned to them it was that Sunday in November. I think it's the second Sunday in November, 1975. That was my thinking. You did something. You do something to get saved. No, for by grace are you saved through faithfulness, not of works. Not of works, church. For by grace you are having been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, not of baptism, not of tongues, not of shaking the preacher's hand, not of giving you pay your tithes. Not of works, but all done in eternity. Hallelujah. Take works off the table. See, works. That's in those other covenants, they were covenants of works. But the Bible tells us the great news. Hallelujah. We are saved. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. We are under a higher covenant that gives more information. So having said that, our gospel is a gospel that is the constituency of the body of Christ today. Now, what about this gospel? There's something unique about our gospel, church. Deacon Gavin, go to Philippians 1:10, please.
Glory, glory.
See, we're going to build. See, we have to do some foundation. Again, Philippians 1:10. Yeah, read both, Deacon, please. King James. Now, church, listen to the. See, the King James did not go far enough in the word that we want to focus on, because this really is so important regarding the grace covenant, the grace gospel. Philippians 1:10, Deacon Gavin, please.
Now from Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. First from the King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Mm-hmm. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, from the interlineal Greek text. Mm-hmm. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
The day of the things different. What is different? The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, church, wrote that our gospel, our gospel is different. It's different. Because it looked at things as from the eternal view. The view from the standpoint of that everything's already done. You see, in the other covenants, church, people walk through time. As things pop up in the matrix, they're trying to make assessment based on what appears at that time. But in the grace gospel, because we are looking at things from the eternal view is everything's already here. Everything came into being via the medium of a Son of God. A singer, one singer, one saint, one decree. But you don't get that information in those other covenants. See, those other covenants, you wake up one morning and you got hit by the devil. That's another subject. And then all of a sudden you wake up 2 days later, something else. As you go through time, as things happen, in fact, the God's people, they wrote as things occurred in time. That's the language of those other covenants. As things occurred in time, they wrote, and God breathed upon them to write based upon what? God's word. But it was focused on based on what things appeared. In the greatest gospel, our gospel, if the language is based on what has already occurred. And the occurrence occurred in eternity. So that's the difference. Our gospel, eternal view, other covenants, temporary, as things move into the matrix. Now, further analysis here, because our gospel is different, Peter made an observation, the Holy Spirit now calls Peter to say this, regarding the differentiating, how is our gospel different, the grace gospel? 2 Peter 3:16, Deacon Gavin, please. Now, notice, this is Peter's writing. Peter was there in terms of Peter and Paul. They were both modern in terms of when they left the time capsule. But understand, the light that Peter had was focused on the kingdom gospel, because that go through those covenants. Kingdom gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The disciples were commanded to do what? Go preach the gospel of the kingdom. So their enlightenment came from that kingdom gospel. By the way, which is future. Everything that Jesus preached about 2,000 years ago is future, church. Now, the worst thing, now you want total confusion? You try to mix what Jesus said for a future age, and you try to transpose that in the present age. Everything that kingdom message is a future message. Move on. Let's. What did Peter say about Paul's writings? Mm-hmm. 3:16. Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Now we're reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, first from the King James Version. Peter writes, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, from mm-hmm. the interlinear Greek text. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them concerning these things in which is hard to understand some things, which the unlearned and unstable twist, mm-hmm. as also the remaining scriptures to their own of them destruction.
Yes. Now, what Deacon Gavin read, church, Peter said this. The Holy Spirit through Peter, go into Paul's writings, the mystery. How many of say mystery?
Mystery.
This message was hidden in times past, church. So Peter, again, during that time, Peter and Paul, others, the kingdom apostles and the grace apostles, they had a verbal fight because they were mixing grace with kingdom. And you cannot mix the two, these dispensational covenants. Having said that, Peter, wow, these things are hard to understand. In fact, for those that weren't here 2 weeks ago, I made the 3 weeks ago, in terms of the second coming. You see, in the kingdom gospel, in fact, we'll be there, we're moving to the in terms of Christmas in a few more weeks. In the kingdom gospel, the focus, the directive, is one day Jesus Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom. That's the language of that covenant. That's the language of that message. So, in fact, the Christmas message is centered around peace on earth. Let's pray for the peace on earth. The Lord's going to come and establish his peace. That's right. In other words, from the standpoint of that covenant, that dispensation. Now, understand that Peter, James, John, that was their cogitation. You go back to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the writings, they prophesied of the coming Messiah. Now, you go into our gospel. Uh-huh. It talks about, wait a minute, not only, yeah, Jesus is going to come as a framework of the matrix, but because the other thing is, the Lord has already come. The Lord, the second coming, the rapture has already occurred. Somebody say, look, do you eat too much pizza last night? No, I did not eat too much pizza. I'm making a point. The rapture has already occurred. You are already glorified. Now, somebody say, preacher, sit down. My back is hurting. I had a headache and my body's wearing out. How in the world can you say I'm glorified? Yes, you are glorified by God's eternal decree. But it just hasn't manifested. Jesus Christ has already come. But it just hasn't manifested. And the day and the hour, by the way, knows no man. That's right. God has not revealed that day. By the way, it may happen before we leave the time capsule. Some of God's people have already left the time capsule. Some will leave the time capsule via the medium of the rapture. And some are going to stay here, and you're going to leave whether it's a sickness or whatever. You may just wake up and go to bed and not wake up. That's God's medium of removing you from the time capsule. But the methodology, church, of leaving the time capsule is already in the decree. So when Peter said, wait a minute, understand, church, the language, the knowledge that Peter had at that time. Understand that you have more knowledge regarding the eternal workings of God than the 12 apostles.
Sure do.
Well, somebody said, wow, in the world, they walk with Jesus. How in the world can we? Yes, you have more knowledge regarding the eternal workings of God than Peter, James, John, all of them.
Yes.
You have more knowledge of God than Moses, Daniel, all the Old Testament.
Yes.
What we call heroes of faith. That's another subject. No one's a hero of faith. Hero. And we all depraved, right? Hero. That's man's term.
Amen.
If God calls you to do certain things, give God the glory. Whatever good thing you do in life, don't take credit. Give God the glory. Because it's in Him we move, and we are, because we're in Him. But having said that, church, I'm not going to be long. The key is this. So Peter said, wait a minute, it's hard to understand. You said, we're waiting for Him to come, and in the mystery writings, He's already come. He said, wait a minute, Peter said, I'm sure... Sometimes at night, Peter said, this is hard to understand. It's right there, but it's read it. Deacon Gavin has read that. It's hard to understand. It's already done. Now, let's go in the document here. We're focusing in on the second coming of Christ. Now, let's go to Ephesians 5, 14 and 16. And we're going to do some exegesis here. Here's a point, church. What should God's people, what should our attitude be toward this glorious day? As we move in the time capsule, what should focus our mind? Should it be politics? Should it be my job? Should it be my husband, my wife? Yeah, we have responsibilities in these arenas. Yes. Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, are you going to vote? Yeah, I'm going to vote. But that voting, the outcome is already done.
Already.
It's already. People worry about who's going to be president. The president, I told a brother, my friend of mine the other day, I already know who's going to be president. He said, yes, I already know. He said, I already know. He said, wait a minute. He said, man, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. And I said, I already know. I already know to the point whoever God has. Now, I don't know in terms of what. As things move in the middle, I don't know. But in terms of the final outcome, whoever God's person is, he or she, whoever it is, it's already known in the decree. So I kind of correct him. I said, look, I don't know in terms of the knowledge I have at this time. But based upon what has already occurred, yes, I know that whoever it is, God knows. I don't know, but God knows. So because we have the mind of Christ, we're in Him. No, we don't know in terms of as we move through the matrix, but we know to the eternal view of who God's person is.
Amen.
So I clarify that. I don't know myself, but from God's perspective, God knows. So I know that God knows, and because God knows, whoever it is, it's already is. Whoever it is, whoever it is, church is already there. Amen? Ephesians 5, 14, 16. Deacon Gavin, you can read that, right? Deacon, read that in the King James, because we're going to move into exegesis here in the Greek.
Now, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 14, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Now, what is Paul saying here, church? Now, let's bear with me. Let's look at a little exegesis here. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. From the Greek text, now here's a Greek. For everything being made manifest is light. Wherefore he say, arise, the one sleeping, and stand up from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Here the Greek phrase rendered, wherefore he says, denotes rising up and awakening from spiritual slumber to those asleep in service of Christ, standing up and rising out, and from among those who are spiritually dead, confirms the fact that both of these verbs, notice, are in the active voice and imperative mood. In effect, clearly speaking to carnal servants. In conjunction with the Holy Spirit, those who fall into the category of such carnality are commanded to move under the control and dynamics of the Holy Spirit. For those enjoying an abiding spiritual relation in the Lord, Christ will render shine upon them, enlighten one. Thus, God will give them light, as decreed in the indicative. What's the indicative?
Fact.
A fact. Future. A future fact. He will spiritually enlighten them in fellowship, relation with himself in the light of his word. Moving further, the examination of Ephesians 5:15 further states, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now in the Greek text, therefore take heed to how accurately you walk, not as unwise, hallelujah, but as wise. Here, the fourth part of this could be translated, therefore accurately take heed to how you walk. There are two aspects of thought conveyed here from the grace covenant. Secondly, emphasis must be on accurately examining the word of God to determine how such ought to walk. Since the emphasis of both thoughts dovetail into one elongated thought, the emphasis of both convey the need to accurately scrutinize the word and to accurately live according to it, not as unwise but as wise. Hence, the Greek adjective rendered unwise denotes the opposite of wise. Hence, those void of understanding, foolish and imprudent. How many know that some of God's people, have more understanding than others?
Absolutely.
Now, grace, how many know grace will humble you? If you have more understanding than your brother and sister next door, don't take credit for that.
Amen.
Give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory.
Yes, sir.
Because he's the one, everything we do should point to Christ. And if it doesn't point to Christ, it's time to go home. The day that I'm going to stand up here and not point to Christ, why stand up here?
That's right.
Everything we do should point to Christ. Because he's the one that did it all, church. Say he did it all. He did it all. He paid the price in eternity. Thank God for you and I. The problem of God's people, we don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the God of all, who loved you so much that he saved you before you even got here. You were already saved. Already in eternity. Moving forward. On the other hand, those who have the fruit of the light in their lives, who are living in accordance with the truth for the church, are prepared to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. None of his beloved will ever stand before the white throne judgment and be judged according to their works, not for salvation, but in their service. These are described as rendered wise, intelligent, learned, and knowledgeable. This is the reason the great scriptures place so much stock in wisdom and learning and understanding, and being wise refers to those identified with the wisdom of God. In contrast, the great scripture speaks very despairingly of those extolling the wisdom of men. Everything we have is focused on the wisdom of God. Now, let's conclude Ephesians 5:16 in this next statement here. Let's listen. In conclusion, 5:16 states from the King James Version, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And the Greek text, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This sheds light on what redeemed ones should be doing in these final days before the Lord manifestly appears for his beloved. Instead of unwisely living in carnality, such ought to be alert, wise, and redeeming the time. The Greek noun rendered time may refer to the present time, a future time, the gamma of time in which such live, and time in the sense of suitable situations, fitting circumstances, and opportunities. The primary focus, interestingly, is on the latter meaning in the sphere of time for suitable situations, open door circumstances, and multiplied opportunities to expose the truth and avail the gospel of the grace of God to others.
Right.
Notice, church, I'm going to read this last statement. As God opened doors, our command, according to God's purpose, is to extend this wonderful grace of God to others. Others, church, not just ourselves. Hence, the main emphasis in this verse centers on time, how it should be used and why. Redeeming the time, church, What should we do? What should we focus on time? Everything that we do in time, the doctrine of parapatiology, our daily walk, but even in walking in the time capsule, everything should reflect on what God did for us in eternity.
Yes.
Every move we make, every thought should reflect the goal of grace. We know the reflection is only according to the degree. But still, the goal is to imitate Christ. Now, before I close, let me say this. In the essence of God's workings, the one thing that disturbed me for years, I go back 25 years ago, I had a fear. You see, our gospel is a liberating gospel. I had a fear of the great white throne judgment.
Right.
I had a fear, Pastor. Ellen Nicholson?
Same here.
I had a fear. I felt when the Lord the rapture, well, if I didn't kill nobody and I stayed with my wife and I did a little few bad things, but Lord, on my right hand, the good things.
Right.
On my left hand, maybe the things weren't so good.
Right.
So if one could outweigh the other, I said, Lord, please accept me.
Right.
See, you have everything in time. The great white throne judgment has nothing to do with the body of Christ.
Nothing.
The great white throne judgment. We stand before the great white throne judgment is for the non-elect, not the elect. You have already been judged. And when you stand before Christ, that's just an event that's going to follow the decree. Whatever God calls you to do, when someone says, will there be what? Rewards? Yes. And for the body of Christ. But understand, you cannot take credit for those rewards, because those rewards goes back to God's eternal purpose, what he calls you to do. Hallelujah. The good things God calls you to do. So even when you stand for rewards, God still gets the credit, because he calls you to do the things that you did to get the rewards. It goes back to what God did. See, notice, in the title, it's the observations of manifestation in time. I look around, and everything that we see in time, church, is already according to what God has purposed in eternity. Everything that occurs, I look at all the great advances in science and technology and all the things that God has breathed upon this society to make things better for us, I'm talking about generically speaking, but that God gets a credit for that. You know, I mentioned a scientist, Benjamin Banneker. He can't take credit for that. He can't take credit for that. God breathed upon him. Parents were slaves and breathed upon this man. He designed Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And the man, one of his co-workers took the plans, and he said, you're from Washington, D.C. I'm sure he laughed all the way. Depravity. You know depravity is retaliation.
Yes.
And really did he know that God gave him a photographic memory, and he remembered all the plans. See, God controls all things. So when we look at the things that happens in time, I'm looking at, in fact, I recommend everybody see this. It's a movie coming up Christmas called Hidden Figures. It's a movie about a mathematician. You know, that's my DNA, right? This mathematician, African-American, Kathleen Johnson, during the Apollo flight, she designed the mathematical calculations for the John Glenn orbit of the Earth. She was a genius, designed the mathematical computations for that flight. Catherine Johnson, a genius. But here's the point. I look at these things and I say, Lord, these are people that you raise up, what? In time. And that's wonderful. But God did some other raising. I'm going to close on this. God did some other raising. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, that God, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. That's the gospel, our contract. The Bible tells us that, and Paul writes in Ephesians 1:3, that we have been raised with him in the heavens to sit with him in the heavens. Where's the heavens? In Christ. So yes, God raised up men and women in time to manifest certain things in time. But you as a member in the body of Christ, God raised you up in eternity because you have always been with him.
So as things that men and women have done things in time, these are things that are focused on the manifestations in time. When God raised you up as a member of the body of Christ, it's a testimony of what God did for you in eternity. One's focus is on time. And I thank God. I thank God every time I see lights pass. I thank God for Brother Edison. Amen. I thank God. Get in my automobile. Thank God I don't have to get in a horse and buggy. Deacon's a car person, right? Turn it, and we can travel in a car, right? But these are manifestations in time. But God did something greater, because as all of these things disappear one day in time, when God chose you in eternity, you will always be in Christ because you always were. So, the essence is this. Where should our focus be? On eternity. That's where the true action is. And as we, every breath we take, every thought, should focus on eternity. And the gospel, what's the gospel? Our contract, our covenant. The grace gospel, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation, which gives testimony to the eternal working of God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah.